I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is... We Watch Spookies.
Today's movie is The Ring. The Ring is a 2002 supernatural horror film directed by Gore Verbinski. And Sokka, apparently.
Sokka.
Starring Naomi Watts, Martin Henderson, and Brian Cox. Oh, lots of synopsis.
All right, so some kids staying in a cabin watch a tape that's going to kill them in 7 days, and then after 7 days, they die, which causes some people to look into it because they were family of another character. She's a reporter, and she watches the tape. Her baby's daddy watches the tape, and then her son watches the tape, and then they try to figure out what's going on. It leads them to an island where a family breeds horses, and then, plot twist, they kill the daughter and throw her in a well, and the well is, in fact, the ring. And she's just running around doing this for the lulz.
Well, not really. I mean, she watched the tape. I mean,
no, okay. I'm talking about the little girl.
Oh, the little girl. Yeah. Well,
you don't want to hurt people, but I do.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have two problems. And the first one is right here at the beginning. And that's... There is no way that is ever explained to us that this legend of the tape can exist.
What do you mean?
Like, the tape exists.
Uh-huh.
And people do die if they watch the tape.
Uh-huh.
But this framing at the beginning that it's like, it's this story that kids in school tell each other to frighten each other. Like, there's nowhere for that to have come from. Because
what are you talking about? Like the girl who tells the other girl literally watched the tape and picked up the phone and it said 7 days and she told her friend, but she didn't tell her friend directly that I watched this tape and then received a phone call that I'm going to die in 7 days. Like it literally happened to her.
Yeah, but
it'd be different if it was just some people that weren't actually involved and they were talking about it and that's how we got to it. I'm like, okay, well then. How did this spread? Who said what?
But she hasn't died yet. So how does she know this? Like, she knows she watched a creepy tape that they don't really know what it was, and that the phone rang and it said 7 days. But that's as much information as she has.
Yeah.
And that you'll die, and it's the tape that kills you, and the other girl seems to have heard of it too, maybe, or she's just playing along, I'm not sure which. But,
well, I want to know where she was at whenever the friend got attacked, you know, and she died
somewhere else.
Well, because like we watch her go back to the room, like not exactly, but you know, we like they're in the kitchen and then she goes back because they were going to go to bed. And then the one who watched the tape, she goes in the living room because the TV turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she approached the room, that's when like the door handle was dripping water. And then she ended up being in that room, in the closet, dead.
Mm-hmm.
But the friend would have had to have been in that room as well.
She hadn't watched the tape, though.
No. And why does no one ever ask the kids anything?
Like, kids don't know stuff.
They
do know stuff, but
that's
people
the problem.
Think the kids don't know stuff.
Is the kids who seem to know stuff, like they always seem to be like a little bit ahead... Like, the mom should have known, like, immediately whenever she goes to pick him up at the beginning of the movie, and he's been drawing this stuff for like a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge red flag, especially when you look at it. Like, they were the things that he shouldn't have known yet, because they hadn't happened. But then they just blow him off for like half of the movie. And then it's like, Oh no, he watched the tape. Like, why did you just leave it laying around? Like, at this point, you're terrified. Why did you make a copy? Are you an idiot? And then you just left the copy sitting around. Like, how can you be this dumb? It's kind of like, just like, if you have a firearm and you live in a house with small children, you don't just leave it armed and sitting on the kitchen table. Like, no, you put it away somewhere. And that's essentially what she did, is just set like a revolver, like a 38 special right there. And then the kid shot himself in the leg. Like, oh, why did you do that? Because you left it out. I'm a kid. I'm stupid. You know,
I mean, it doesn't say anything on it.
Doesn't matter.
It just says copy. So they're like, it just looks like a tape lying around.
But no, it's not. It's not about him. It's about her, because she knows. That's the issue. If she knows, and she should have done something about it, and she didn't. Therefore, she put her own child in danger by being dumb. He's not going to know any better.
He seems to be already involved, though, because he's having, like, he's been seeing things for several days before he's seen the tape. So the ghost or whatever still seems to be talking to him earlier. Which I guess maybe because he was in proximity to the cousin who's the girl who dies at the beginning.
Who's cursed. But, and then, you know, the mom's now cursed.
But there is a little bit of an I see dead people kind of thing in an unexplained fashion. Because it's not the focus of the movie. It's not. There's no explanation in The Sixth Sense either, really, why he can see dead people. He just can. But it's the fundamental thing in the story, and it's not here. He just happens to have some information, and maybe it's because he's a kid and she's a kid. I don't know really, but I feel like maybe we're going to disagree about this movie, which will at least be something different, because we haven't really disagreed in like 4 or 5 episodes. I mean, we disagreed on the Joker episode, I guess. But in the October episodes, we haven't really, like, disagreed in, like, a strong way, I don't think. But except for that, and then the sort of fundamental problem of why she's evil, which it almost kind of seems like there's an unborn kind of thing happening, maybe, because the birth certificate says miscarriage, but she does seem to have existed because she was real in a hospital, so maybe they're just covering something up in the records. But there's something wrong.
And oh, yeah.
And I don't know why. That's just an unexplained thing, that she's just bad because that's the story. But other than that, I think it's creepy.
And oh, like, yeah. Inherently, this movie is very creepy.
Like, it's creepy. And, like, it's creepy, like, most of the time. And I like the mystery of it, and the going from place to place, and the looking at the records and figuring out pieces of it, and then going to places to check things out and realizing, oh, this is the place that I saw in the thing, or this was on the tape, or this is the picture that the kid drew. I don't know why the kid drew it, but there it is. And I like the build of it and the piecing together of it, and it's like real, like, research kind of searching, like you would actually do. Nobody's like typing in like how do vampires work into a search engine like some things do.
Well,
she's just like, oh, there's this horse incident in this place, I'm gonna use those words and see what I can find. It's like she's doing like reporter style research.
Well, that's the thing, is I do agree that this movie has quite a bit of creepiness behind it. But the problem that I have with this is, one, the audio score, like, quit being loud. Every time, like, it's like, oh, we want you to be scared, we want you to jump, they always play something loud, especially when they transition between scenes. And I don't like that. Loud does not equal funny, and loud does not equal scary. It equals annoying. And I do not like the mom. I do not like Rachel. Like, I do not like that character because she is constantly making like these, I don't want to call them mistakes, but like they're like bad decisions. Like, let's make a copy of the tape. But why? You obviously believe it's cursed. Why would you want to make a copy of it?
Well, I think maybe that's just her being a reporter and not like thinking about it as in like a it's cursed kind of way. Because she doesn't really know it. Because like if you get some piece of information, you don't want to only have one.
But see, that doesn't work because she's scared. If she wasn't scared yet, I could understand. Like, creepy things haven't happened yet. She doesn't believe any of this. She's not a believer yet. Mm-hmm. But
well,
no,
the
like,
only creepy thing is the tape and the call.
Like, but she starts like being afraid immediately, and I'm like, okay, see, now that she's afraid, I can understand like the constant panic. But at the same time, you would think, oh well, I don't want this girl to see it, but I'm okay with you seeing it. But I should know enough that I don't want her to see it, so there shouldn't be a copy. Because at the end of the movie, I was almost expecting like the copy to still be in the apartment. She go up and then she happens to watch it and then it just repeats the whole cycle. But we don't get that because it cuts before then. We see the mom and the child making copies to save themselves.
We'd already seen the copy go under the bed earlier, like after she
I'm talking about like the original.
Well, I think she had the original with her. I think she had both with her. She must have had the copy at the apartment because that they're questioning over the like time code stuff.
Well, okay, so she goes home after she stops by the
the
flat, and then she starts burning them because she's upset. But we see the assistant go up.
No. I mean, like the son watched the copy. We see it have the copy label on it, and she throws it under the bed. That's after she's been to the apartment with them analyzing the tracking and we've met the assistant for the first time.
Yes.
So the copy, we know the copy isn't at the apartment, his apartment.
But the original is.
Well, she pulls it out of, she pulls something out of the tape deck, but that might have been the copy. Yeah, we don't see, I mean, the assistant is going to find him with a real weird face
when
she gets up there anyway, which I like that they don't show us to start with.
Well, like when we do see it, it's like super, super quick.
Yeah, it's just a flash. So it's enough to be scary, but it's we've already kind of, like she's already screamed about seeing it, which I know you have a problem with screaming, but people do scream when something scary happens to them. So it's not a fair standard that anytime somebody screams, it invalidates whatever's happening.
It's I don't agree with it because it doesn't help anything, especially since he's not moving.
No, but it's just, you can't, it's reactionary. It's not, like, no, you're not making a decision to scream. So, it's...
No, but you're making a decision to constantly do it. Because it's not like a yelp.
Well, she doesn't scream that much,
she
though.
Does. If it lasts more than 2 seconds, then it's like, you can clamp back up.
She screams when she sees him, but I mean, she doesn't spend the whole movie screaming at things.
No. No, she doesn't. Like, her reaction whenever she's in Morgan's house and she's watching the other tape, and then, like, it kind of cuts off and she flinches. Like, I'm okay with that. I think that's an appropriate reaction because, like, there's something jarring and you reacted to it, but she didn't just, like, why? There's nothing there to do that with. If he had, like, fallen and lunged at her or something, whether it be involuntary or not, making a loud sound isn't what bothers me. It's the screaming, because screaming is a constant loud sound over a period of time. Just like, a little bit is okay, but once you stretch it out, then it's annoying. Because his face is more creepy than scary, because he's just sitting there. You wouldn't want to stare at it. That would...
Well, it is very unnatural, though. It's not something that would happen to a real person. And we did see the face earlier in... Still a flash, but slightly longer of the first girl that died.
Yeah, the niece.
They do show us that.
Yeah, she was crumpled up in the corner of the closet.
The son is doing some kind of like vision whispering or something, because he sees something and then goes up the stairs to the cousin's room, and it's shown to us as if it's something that he's seeing, and then he goes to check it out.
Yeah.
And
will we even get the like that vaporwave pattern thingy when he's looking at the TV?
Yeah.
And he kind of sees it behind him in the reflection, and then like a little bit later, like a little bit, like almost immediately, the mom comes around. It's like, oh, we shouldn't be in here. It's like, oh, it's not her room anymore. And why is this kid like 40 years old?
Because he's the kid from The Sixth Sense. Like, he really is. Like, he talks, like, he whispers things. And he has information that he shouldn't have. And he's talking to ghosts. And, like, his hair is styled the same, even. Now, this is only 4 years after. Or no, actually, no, it's almost 8 years after. Because Sixth Sense is 96, isn't it?
So something like that.
It's a while after, but it still feels very much there's kind of a like late 90s, early 2000s kind of look to things, especially this kind of movie, that there's a lot of similar feeling to, not that they're like, even when they're not similar necessarily, it's kind of like looking at old still photos, and you can kind of tell when it's from by the like the way that the color renders on the film and stuff. It's not that exactly. It's not really like a because you can kind of tell that too sometimes. Like the 60s and 70s have very distinctive to each other and to other periods of time color just from the film stocks that existed at the time. And that kind of goes away on either side of that. And this was still on film. It's still early enough that it's possible that it could not have been, because George Lucas shot episode 2 on digital cameras. And that's 2002, I guess. So that's the year before this. And so you could have, but nobody really was. And there was no reason to. So it's still, it is on film, but everything has this processing on it where it's all almost no color or like very washed out colors. And so you couldn't tell by the color of it, but there's just a style to this period of time that crosses over between directors and stuff, even, because there's a difference between M. Night Shyamalan and Gore Verbinski for sure. But they're still working in the same time period, so there's just a feeling that feels kind of the same. And it's not necessarily okay for them to just rip off the kid from Sixth Sense. And they don't really, because he's kind of a main character, but he's not, and he's important, but he's not there most of the time. We only see him now and then. And he's critical for certain things to happen, but he's not the focus. She and the ex-husband is. Which, that reveal of it, that it's their kid, is very written, because he says, who watched the tape? Now, you would probably, as a person, just say his name. You wouldn't say, our son.
Yeah.
Like, you only say, our son, because we need to know that it's your son, and you haven't told us this as a movie yet. But it sounds really written, because you wouldn't say something that way as real people normally. They do kind of like have a almost like married couple kind of fight after the assistant shows up. They don't fight. They talk about how they would fight if they were going to fight. And so they have this really familiar, like, we know what happens when we argue kind of thing, which we don't know much about their, like, who they are to each other before then. But we kind of figure out, like, oh, there's something kind of here. And he was really awkward when the assistant, who's probably more than his assistant, kissed him as she walked by, and where it's like he didn't want her to see that, or it was uncomfortable. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything about the kid.
Yeah. Well, like, whenever they introduced Noah, I was confused on who he was, because I knew that she was supposed to be a reporter from the previous scenes where it's like, hey, you know, look into it, ask some questions,
yeah,
you know, do some reporting kind of work. And then like Noah shows up and I'm thinking, oh, maybe Noah's somebody from like the office. Like, hey, I need a tech hand because I got to deal with like tapes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, no, nope. Baby daddy. Like he does do tapes and stuff, but
yeah, he does do tapes and stuff.
All right, so how do you feel about the twisted faces in the photographs and in the live video feeds?
I think it's creepy. I think it's one of the like effectively creepy things. I don't know what it means or why it happens exactly, except that I guess it's the eventually your face is really going to look like this once you're killed, although I don't know why that is either. But just because it's creepy, I guess.
Well, it seems to be because like I don't know if it's supposed to match with the scratching of people's faces out. Like, whenever they're doing stuff with pins, and they end up, like, scratching a face out. Because I'm wondering if the twist, like, I'm guessing it only occurs to the people who watch the tape who are marked for death.
It seems to. But, I mean, I kind of took it also as sort of a, like, you already kind of don't exist.
Yeah.
So you don't show up in things clearly anymore, because you're already dead. You just have to wait for it to actually happen.
But something I would have liked to have seen is old photos of both of them. That have the twist on it when it shouldn't have. Like, it literally altered.
Oh, from before? Yeah.
Yeah, like, it literally altered, like, pre-existing material. And I really do enjoy the scene with him picking up the cigarettes.
And yeah,
he looks at the live feed.
Notices.
And he, like, swipes his hand over it. And then, like, it has, like, that distortion to the entire screen as his face gets covered up. And I'm like, all right, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this relies a lot on electronics and like distortion of stuff and watching things twitch slowly and grainy black and white videotape footage of stuff, and like that kind of thing we already know has an effect on me for whatever reason, because that's one of the elements of Slenderman that affects me. And you know, here we are another episode mentioning Marvel Hornets, but I don't think we can help but. And also, if you have watched Marvel Hornets, I'm just going to say to the arc. And I'm not going to say any more than that because you don't need to know yet and no one else needs to know unless they know. But if you know, you'll know. And you can write in and we'll talk about it privately or something if you want to. But like there is Marvel Hornets owes something to this movie for sure in certain elements. And so I don't think it could help but be creepy. Although just technology doesn't always do it, I guess, because one missed call didn't do a whole lot for me. And that's sort of a technology-based supernatural thing. But and it's not because this is visual either, because it's not just visual. It's the like that distorted kind of staticky sound of certain kinds like that. The sound is really important to this working as a creepy thing too. This kind of stuff working on me.
Well, something that I didn't think was creepy is as she goes to pick the photos up, her niece's photos, and then we're looking at them and we like there's a few clips.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few clips where you're like you see her just like going through them, and then they literally have like I'm holding one photo and now it's like a cut to me now holding another photo. Like the camera doesn't even move. It's just like we just swapped photos and then picked back up. And I did not like that.
Well, I think the reason why is because in the middle of like it does it with like three or four pictures. And on the middle one, there's like one of the boys that was there when the thing happened, sitting in front of a TV with static on it. And she doesn't stop on it. She doesn't seem to pay attention to it. And it never comes back.
No.
But, and it, I guess, are those supposed to be pictures that they took
When they were at the place? Yeah.
And then they just all died before they could pick them up?
Uh-huh.
But none of their faces are weird in the other pictures. It is only the one group one, which I guess is from after they watched it, but before they left. But there's that one at the TV, and I think it's just supposed to be for us to be like, oh, staticky TV.
Yep.
But you could have that because I guess she's seen the tape already, so she should know that staticky TVs.
Well,
might
no,
be
she hasn't
to,
seen.
She hasn't she, seen. The,
she hasn't
oh, that's
seen
right,
it
she
yet.
She hasn't seen it yet
because
so
she was
wouldn't
digging
stop
through
on
the,
it.
Yeah,
but then just have her go ahead and just page through them the way she already was instead of doing the cutting thing because she's not going to pay attention to it anyway. It's still just for us.
Well, see, like, that was the thing. Is like they did that weird cut, but since they jump back and forth between camera angles where we're like a low angle or I guess a high angle, we're pointing upwards at her and then she like stops and looks and then it cuts again to an over the shoulder and then we can see the photo of like the face is distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine, but the one where it's just the, you know, over the camera, over the shoulder POV, and it's just like cut, cut, cut. Like, I feel that was unnecessary, and it was jarring enough that it took me out of it whenever she actually discovers one with blurry faces. And I'm like, well, what was with the other ones? Because I didn't remember seeing anything up with the other ones.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Exactly.
The only other even unless, suspicious thing at all is the TV one, and it's not actively suspicious necessarily. Yeah.
Like, unless there's like special stuff in it that we just could, like,
I
our
don't
feeble
think,
brains
I don't think
didn't
so.
Pick up. But
it was jarring though when she gets to the one with the weird faces, because the weird yeah. faces thing is weird and is kind of just unsettling as a visual, just sort of independently. Like, if you just happen to see a picture like that outside of the context of this story, it would still be weird to look at. And especially since we know something weird is happening, even though we don't really know what yet at that point, it's extra weird. And which the tape itself is creepy. Like, there's weird, creepy stuff in it just because,
oh yeah,
you don't really know what any of it is. It's just this weird mix of things. And it has this kind of, like art house kind of impressionistic feel to it, but it's just a bunch of weird stuff and
student film.
It's really extra clever, I think, that it's independently weird and creepy to watch just as a thing, but then it also ties together all of this history that they eventually build up and reveal to us.
Well, like, that's the interesting thing, is because some of the stuff is connected and some of it's not, like the worms that, like, it looks like worms that are like slithering all over the place, and then there's like one of the weird cuts, and then it shows like an alternate version of the exact same thing, but it's supposed to be people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's not really connected to anything compared to like the looking in the mirror or the mom killing herself by jumping off a cliff, like the ones that are like the dad looking out of the upper window, like stuff like that. Like, those are the ones where it's just like just that kind of steel alone is really creepy and it has a connection. But then the ones that don't have a connection, I feel are not as creepy. Like, maybe they're too extra. Like, there's too much to them.
Well, I think it's supposed to be just the kind of creepy stuff that she would do to people. Because there seems to be this implication that she was, like, putting, like, at least maybe images or bad feelings or something into the people around her on the island. The doctor woman says, like, it's better that she's not here because it was, like, everyone having it. She has a cold metaphor.
Yeah.
And so that may be just she's, which I guess, he's not really the kid from Sixth Sense because it's her power putting the things into his mind. It's not him receiving things because he has some kind of mind power. But it is, it's, there's kind of like a Kilgrave kind of thing going on, I think, where he, it's not, she's not making people do stuff actively, but she's putting stuff into their head. And so I guess it's just like, here's a weird, creepy image of worms that now I'm putting in your head and it's gonna drive you crazy drive the horses to run themselves into the ocean and kill themselves.
Well, I'm wondering if the horses started doing that after the mom died, because that's what it made it feel like until the dad started talking about it. Because later on, spoiler, the mom is the one that kills the child. But I don't understand why.
To make it stop, I think. But because there is the like the x-rays or the, what look like x-rays, but aren't really x-rays.
Yeah.
Because they're like, how did you make these? And so there's like a thought. There's a thing called thoughtography, which is this imagined, because there's no proof of it, like thing like telepathy that people might be able to do, that where you put things onto like surfaces of things or onto to film or things like that, like just with your mind, like you form images on in like a physical manner on something external to you just with your mind. And there's no real evidence of it, of course. All of the supposed thoughtography images are, you know, bogus and hoaxes and stuff.
Well, I wonder if
that's what's happening here.
I wonder if she did that to the wood underneath the...
I think so.
Because, like, I'm wondering if she did it before it was put up or after it was put up, you know? Because it's, like, the tree that's, like, by the well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, oh. Like, how often was she actually by the well because of the horses don't like her? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, which they moved, I guess? Or...
Well, I'm wondering if they did all of the breeding on the island, like at the ranch, and then they just did, like, external work on the mainland.
I guess, because the well is where the inn now is.
And that's on the mainland.
It wasn't at the time, because there's just it's just the well and a field. But there were horses there, too. She's kind of, like, looking off at the horses, and then the mom comes up and plastic bags her. But I guess maybe they were like, well, it looks bad if we own this land that now has this well that has the body of our daughter in it that we don't want anybody to find. So we'll just divest ourselves of this land. If it was even their land at all, they might have just happened to have been there for some reason. And she's like, well, this well will be a handy way to kill her. Except it didn't work. Oh, yeah, I forgot. She's adopted. The doctor tells us that she's adopted because the mom couldn't have kids.
Well, like, air quotes, adopted. Because, like, yeah, like, I remember them saying adopted. But, like, then you, like, look at the stuff, and it's just like, oh, yeah, like, she was actually born. It was, like, the difference in information between what the dude found compared to what was told to Rachel. Like, the doctor saying this stuff, and then what's his name, Rob? Noah.
Yeah.
And then compared to the stuff that Noah found in the psych ward, which I don't understand, like, because it looked like a lot of stuff, like, it was supposed to be on the mom. And then it's like, here's information on the mom, and then there's information on Samara.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, so was she actually adopted? Where did they get her from? Why did they adopt her? Like, there's like a lot of this kind of information that's not ever given to us. It's not really important, but at the same time, like, I have questions about what's really going on that aren't answered. I know it kind of takes away from the mysterious mystery, but at the same time, when it's really boiled down, here's this really messed up little girl who has created a cursed tape because her mother murdered her by throwing her into a well. Her dad didn't like her, and the horses didn't like her, and she treated people bad, and so now she just curses people with a videotape.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have three problems, actually, because just the existence of the videotape is never explained either. I guess it's her imprinting on stuff thing is how it's supposed to have happened, but I don't know if it happened when she was still alive, and so that's why she persists, maybe, or if she did it as a ghost somehow after she was dead, because we never see the tape. Like, I half expected the tape, because he's reading the files, and it says treatment discontinued C video record.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's good. Maybe that's the tape. That's where the tape came from.
Well, that was tape S90015.
No, I know. We find out that.
Yeah.
But we didn't. I mean, we find out what's actually on it. And it's this, like, her never sleeping. And then the last interview with the psychiatrist or whoever. But until we know that, this is the only mention of a tape from external sources that we've had. And so it could have been some kind of justification, which it still. I think maybe what I would have liked would have been if that was on the end of the video record tape from the files. Like, you see the last interview and then it goes black like it does, and then the thing from the tape starts.
Yeah, that'd
be
cool.
And so then, like, at some earlier time, this part had been copied off of the main tape onto this tape by itself, and that's what's circulating around. Because that would at least give us a way that it existed.
Well, okay, so because this is a Americanized version of a Japanese film, one of the things that I've noticed about these kinds of movies is there's always a way to seemingly break the curse, but it's never really presented directly. But then you end up finding out, just burn everything down. It'll all go away if you just burn everything down. And it kind of makes me wonder. She gets to the conclusion because Samara just wants to be heard. And so it's like, okay, well, we can be saved if we make copies of the tape. But at the same time, like, if no physical copies of the tape exist and the skeleton's already been removed from the well, if she doesn't exist in the well anymore, and there's no more tapes that exist.
How does the evil work?
Yeah, like at some point, if it's dispelled, how can it recreate itself? Because that means the ghost would still have to stick around even after being found. That yeah. It's like, it's not the, being in the well wasn't important because she was already dead. It was the curse on the tape that was important because that's what lingered. But if the tape doesn't exist, then can the curse even exist anymore?
I don't know. I mean,
because like if her and her son both die and all of the tapes were destroyed, like, yes, they'd be dead, but now the curse isn't connected to anybody anymore. And there's no videotape to be watched to progress the curse.
Well,
so then what would happen? Because like in Ju-On, all you got to do is burn down the building.
Yeah.
Like, that's where like the curse is like like held in place. If that doesn't exist anymore, it can't be there. It's gone.
Well, the Necronomicon won't burn.
No.
So, like, that stops that from being a concern. But the tape, at least that one,
it
does
burns.
Burn. She doesn't try to burn the copy because then she has the idea. So maybe a version of the tape has to exist. But also, there's these other things now. Other artifacts of it that exist. She has the still frame of the lighthouse that she copied from the tape. So I guess, like, the curse could follow it around, maybe, if there's some extant physical object. And I guess you'd probably have to, like, burn the body or something, too.
To dust.
Just so that there's nothing at all.
All right, so one of the things I'm interested in with the tape, because, like, the whole movie revolves around the tapes. What happens if you don't actually watch it? Like, experiment-wise, let's say you have one TV and it's playing. And then you have one person who's sitting directly in the front of the TV and they're wearing a blindfold, so they can only hear what's going on. And then you have another person who is not blindfolded but wearing earplugs standing beside the TV and there's no reflection, so they can't see anything or hear anything, but they still have their eyes open. Then what if you have somebody who's not in that room but in an adjacent room who can hear it but is physically not within the vicinity of the TV to be able to witness it? Like, would these people still be affected the same way? Science.
Well, and also, do you have to watch the whole thing?
Yeah. Like, can you get, like, an extension if I only watch, like, the first, like, half a minute?
Well, because it's on the screen when the woman at the, like, archiving videotape place comes to like ask her if she needs help.
Yeah, and it's only paused,
but it's there. It's on the screen, and she's in visual range of it at least. But I think maybe there's kind of not any rules because it just seems like the tape is a mechanism of some kind, but it's really just like Samara will kill people if she wants to because she wants to hurt people. And so I don't know, the actual magic of it is really undefined. So it's not like you say these words and this brings about the curse of evil on you. And it's not really, it's not hard and fast either, because she watched the tape and she isn't killed because Samara has other ideas about her. Although I don't know, it's weird, the copy thing is weird that it saves you, because it's not really any different than just the tape is still there for someone else to, like the tape doesn't, it's not a Mission Impossible tape. It doesn't self-destruct after you watch it. So
yeah,
it's still there. It is, you know what? I think she did make it after she died, because the tape, it seems to have started right there, because they say they were trying to tape a football game.
Uh-huh.
And then they tried to watch, or they thought they taped a football game, and then they try to watch it, and it turns out that it's this. And they were at the place.
Yeah.
With the in the cabin, uh-huh, that's on top of the well. So it, uh-huh, seems like she made the tape right then. So I guess she does still have some kind of ghostly power if you just have to be close enough or something.
Maybe.
Because she's still there right under the cabin.
Well, like that was something like the Japanese movie used as a focus, is that the daughter was a psychic.
Uh-huh.
And so like they kind of tortured her to make her do psychic stuff. And so she was just like an evil little child because of torment. And so she put it on people. So like even after she died, like her like, I don't want to call her a ghost, but like her psychic presence lingered and was still able to do stuff. And like that's how she was able to put these curses on people. And we see something kind of like that here. The difference is it's almost like the girl doesn't know that she's actively doing it. She just takes pleasure in the fact that she is supposedly doing it, because she doesn't seem to do it to the doctor, or at least he doesn't make any comment about seeing stuff that, you know, she might have wanted him to see or something.
Yeah.
And when the physician, the older lady, was talking about like using that cold reference, you know, I'm sure she was doing it to the people around because of it being like a small community, and like this girl being adopted, air quote, is probably not as welcome kind of thing. Look at this event. You know, the Morgan family brought in this person who isn't welcome or shouldn't be here kind of thing. So she's like, I don't like you people. And psychic curses on them. I'm going to make you go crazy. But because it seems like a more isolated event, like it looked like she was doing it to the people on the island, and the horses didn't like it because they could see it, mm-hmm, but she didn't do it to the people on the mainland when she was in the psych ward doing the testing. Like, that's what it appears to be.
She did it to the X-ray film.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to have done anything to people. Except something happens at the end of the video record, because she kind of looks directly forward and then it's cut off.
Well, I kind of feel...
And they didn't treat her anymore after that.
I kind of feel like those kinds of things where it's like, you know, we reached an impasse and we can't actually do anything about this. Mostly because, like, whenever we watch that little bit of the film, it's, like, at the end of the movie. And so it looks more like Samara is just talking to the camera as if she's actually breaking the fourth wall. Like, she's really not, but she's, yeah, doing it in that fashion. So whoever does see it, it's like, oh, it's all in my head, and she's actually talking to me, and this kind of stuff. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. The only times that I would say it went around this was whenever the when Rachel was having that dream that she was going to check on her son. And then, like, Samara was just sitting in a pool of water on a chair, like, in the middle of his room.
Yeah.
And she goes to touch him, and then she's got, like, that weird, almost burnt look to her arm.
Yeah.
So it's, like, that looked more like a direct connection, like she was being sent something specific because it was revolving around, like, her, her home, her kid, that kind of thing. And why was she messing with the horse? Because she was reading the articles, and we literally see... That, yeah,
well, she was thinking about horses, I guess, because of the research, and then there just happens to be a horse right there. But, yeah, she doesn't really have any reason. Although, she doesn't really do anything. She just kind of, like, reaches into pet it, and then it only goes crazy, I think, because there's Samara magic happening.
Well, okay, so there's, like, three times that she tries to pet it. Like, she tries once, and it, like, tries to get away from her. She tries again, and then it starts throwing a fit. And then she tries the third time, and that's when it really goes bananas and breaks out. Like, if it doesn't want you to touch it, then just get away from it. It's not like it's going to tell you something.
No, if it's anything, not Mr. Ed.
Yeah. And it's like, she did read the articles, or at least enough of them, because, like, that's what we get to see, about the, I think it was Anna, who was the horse rider.
Yeah.
How, like, the horses were killing themselves by drowning. Until she killed herself, and then the horses were fine. So obviously there was something going on, and the fact that someone had to die, which is going on because of the videos, is the only thing keeping these horses from losing their mind. So here's this horse, just stay away from it.
Yeah.
Especially after, like, the second attempt, and you know it's having a fit, like, just move away. Leave it alone. It probably wouldn't have jumped off and was... killed by propellers.
Death by water.
Death by propeller.
That scene was pretty intense, though. Horse running around on cars and chasing back and forth and then just diving off into the water. And then, like, it's immediately freaked out by it, too. Because I guess... horses don't swim that well, so it starts making some real sad sounds, and then it gets sucked under.
Actually, that's something that I hear a lot from people who talk about this movie, is the most jarring thing in the entire movie is watching the horse, like, kill itself. And I can kind of understand, because...
I guess so. I mean, that's something that could actually happen. Like, you could see a horse kill itself, I guess. It's not... I don't know how often...
Well, it's not like
have suicidal thoughts.
It's not a psychological kind of thing, because a lot of this seems to be in people's heads. Like, it doesn't physically exist.
Yeah.
Until she comes to kill you.
And it's in our heads.
Yeah. And then it's just like, nope, here's this horse, and it's freaking out, and I just watched it jump into the water, and that propeller blade cut it up. Okay, it's not alive anymore. Like that, and people saw it happen.
Yeah.
So I can understand why it's like, oh yeah, this was the most jarring thing in the film. Like, all right, I understand that. Why did they build the cabins, like, directly over the well?
I don't know.
It's got a lid.
It does have a lid,
and they
build
it directly over it. I'm like, if anything, if you, like, I don't know if the Morgan family, like the husband built over it because he knew his wife, like, killed her and threw her body into the well. I don't know. But I wouldn't build something over a well. I would just cap it off. And then be like, here's a marker that the water's gone bad.
I mean, it is capped off.
It is.
But it's not... But it's above ground, is the thing. If it was just like a cap over the opening, like level with the ground, and then someone built something on top of it because they didn't know, that would be different. But it's tall. Like, you couldn't help but see it if you were there. So it's like waist high. So... it is odd that someone was like, we're just going to put a building on top of this, when you could have put a building like 20 feet to the side of it. And if you don't want to bother dismantling it, but you're going to put a cabin right there, then it doesn't have to be right over the top. It's only there like that, really, so that it can be a secret under the floor.
I also kind of wonder about the dad. Because as whenever we see the dad, you know, we can tell that he's hiding something.
He's hiding something.
And then it progresses a little bit. And I don't like the fact that she introduced herself as a journalist. Because inherently, most people don't like journalists, especially in person. Because if someone is approaching you and you know that you don't want to tell them anything, and they're like, hey, I'm a journalist, like, that's immediately like a red flag for, hey, they're going to ask me questions that are going to be intrusive, and I don't want to have to deal with this conflict. You know, if anything, you'd be like, hey, I've been seeing some stuff and I'm trying to save my son. You know, be a little more sympathetic when you introduce yourself. I'm sure he could have given you more. But he just full dead fished her like right away.
He did, but then he still kind of told her a little bit of stuff.
Like, I don't have a daughter.
And told her more stuff by deliberately not telling her stuff in an obvious manner.
Yeah.
But
which led her right back to his place.
It did. While he was about to be in the middle of suiciding with all the electricity he could pile up in a pile next to the bathtub.
Yeah.
But he does. I mean, I guess it could be that, sure, maybe you're suspicious of a reporter because people in general maybe don't want to talk to reporters, especially if they're hiding something. But at least a reporter has some kind of impersonal justification to ask questions. Like, oh, I heard about the story, you know, we're just writing about the story about this thing that happened to you a while back, rather than I'm a random person that's asking you very specific questions about this thing that I probably don't have any business knowing about.
Well, see, that's the difference, is he makes a comment about the whole spreading it like a disease. Because it's like she didn't introduce herself as, hey, I need help. It's, hey, I want to know things because I write stories.
Yeah.
And that's a bit off-putting, especially because he's trying to keep it under wraps. You know, if she didn't mention anything about being a journalist, because she wasn't there to write an article about this through him.
No, not like really.
Like, that wasn't her intent. So saying that she was a journalist kind of did her a disservice and put more work on her shoulders. But he kind of just let her watch that tape for a while.
He did. He kind of stood back there. Because, like, I mean, he's about to kill himself anyway, so I guess what does he care? But,
well, he cared enough to, like, hit her with what looked like a surge protector and then run off. Like, he didn't hit her very hard, but
yeah, and he
to
only
knock
hit
her ground
once. So he wasn't, like, really trying to kill her.
Yeah, it was a very odd.
But then he talks
kind of
to
thing.
Her for a while.
While he's hooking stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah, while he's hooking stuff up. But so,
she puts the messages in your mind, and you can't get rid of her because she's doing it now, and you being here is proof of it. And it's just like, well, help me, please?
He gets really chatty.
Those were his last words. But if he knows he didn't do anything, then what is the big deal?
I think he's just scared. I think he's scared because I think there is the, like, putting things in their mind thing. And I think now, because I think she was gone for a long time until, because the guy says, like, we get bad TV reception up here. So, like, we seems to imply recently we put in VCRs.
Yeah.
For people. And so I think that's the, like, the, now there's a physical object that she can imprint on that's near enough, that's right over top of the well. And so it's an opportunity to reach out that she hasn't had since she's been dead in the well, maybe. Because he seems, like, shocked that something is going on again. He doesn't seem like he's been scared of the evil continuously all this time.
Yeah.
And so now that she's back, you know, in a way, that, well, now he's just like, I don't want to deal with this again. I went through this before. I'm checking out.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder because, like, since the horse on the ferry was freaking out because she was nearby, I'm wondering if it's just, like, her simple being, like, protrudes this wave of curse energy.
Yeah.
And because she was near, like, her father, like, then he starts getting more of it that he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, because it could just be like that, because he doesn't exactly state when he started seeing stuff again. He just says that he started seeing stuff again.
Yeah.
He's got that that hay hook.
He does, which he's really threatening with.
Like, listen, either kill me with that hook and be done with it, or answer my questions so I can try to save my kid. Choice is yours.
What does he do on the land all day?
I don't know. Because there aren't any horses. Obviously not breed horses.
No, there's no horses anymore. So what if the fence needs repair? Like, what's going to get out? Unless, I guess, he's just keeping busy because he doesn't have a wife anymore and he doesn't have any horses anymore. And so he's just doing what he can to not go crazy. Except now that that's over. But he's menacing, which may just be like, here's a little bit of menace. It'll be creepy. Because she doesn't do anything to talk him out of hay hooking her, if that was what he really wanted to do. And he doesn't. So it wasn't that much of a threat.
Yeah. And you know, I've been thinking about it, and we've already done one movie this month that has an asylum, a psych ward, kind of help people who seem to have a disease in the brain or whatever you might want to address it as. But I was thinking about it, and I'm wondering if the guy who was running the counter in Arkham Asylum, you know, ended up getting transferred because he didn't want to be associated with the same one.
I mean, the guy is very similarly serious about keeping the records.
Yeah, I'm just going to go Seattle and I'll work at that one. And, oh, yeah, well, I'm missing records here, too.
Now I'm mad, he says. And
it's kind of weird because, like, was there someone else there that day whenever Richard Morin came by and got the tape? Because it looked like he got the tape that day.
Well, it's still in the VCR.
Yeah. Like, it's like he watched it before he was going to, like, off himself.
Yeah, which is weird.
But why?
Because why would he do that? But
especially because I'm sure that the ward would like their information back.
I mean, maybe he's had it a long time and he just decided, I'm going to off myself, so I'm going to watch. Like, the watching it before he offs himself part could still be true, even if he didn't get it that day.
Yeah.
Because he would have had to have left the island, and it doesn't really seem like he gets out much.
No. I think the last time he got out, he was responsible for an unstoppable train that almost wrecked. That was him, right? That's the same actor?
Is it?
You know, the guy who was, like, the vice president?
Is it? Okay, I'm going to check this now. I didn't realize.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just dumb.
Richard Morgan. Played by Brian Cox. Doesn't seem to be.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm just dumb. That's fine.
That would have tied things together.
Well, it would have meant my joke would have worked better.
Yeah. Want me to cut it out?
Nah, it doesn't matter. I say stupid stuff all the time, so I guess it works.
So how do you feel about stars?
I'm going to give this one a 3. Like, it's creepy and scary enough that it's entertaining. But then when I have to deal with, like, Rachel doing stuff that I would be like, no, like, turn the light on. Like, the light switch is right there. Just turn the light on. Little stuff like that irritates me. So it's like a perfectly balanced, like all things should be. I like the Japanese one more. I'll just put it like that. I don't have those kinds of issues with that one.
Well, I mean, that could be. I mean, we still didn't like One Missed Call really in either form, but
no.
We liked the Japanese one better.
Yeah.
So, I haven't seen the Japanese of this. I'd like to read it. It was a novel first too, and
I
would like to read that. I think. I feel like maybe it's not, I mean, of course it's not objective. None of this is objective, but like, because so much of the like dread and sustained creepiness plays directly into things that I find creepy, I think maybe it works for me in like an unbalanced way that's not really reflective of necessarily of its inherent quality, if things have such things. But it did, except for like those couple of things where I was like, it works for me, for the most part. And even, you know, things like that, you know, would like take you out, like the screaming and whatever, like that didn't bother me. And this particular, we've both complained about excessive screaming in movies before.
I've always been a fan of whenever they start, they immediately kind of cover their mouth because like maybe they're trying to be quiet. I've always been a fan of that kind of method because it shows that there's enough reasoning left, even though they're scared, that they're trying to control themselves. But just when you see something and you just banshee on, like, come on now. We're not X-Men here.
And I guess I do have a little bit of a problem with the we're going to spread it so we don't die thing.
Yeah.
Regardless
of like the moral standing, like that's your issue, right? Like, yeah, it's not morally right. Yeah. Mine is
just
more
go
on
ahead and die.
Yeah.
Lock the tape in a vault or burn the other copy or whatever, and then just die. And it ends with you.
See, and like that would be like the opposite for me. Is like, I'm not upset by it because of the moral sense as much as it's like the duty sense. Like, you have the opportunity to end it and you could, but you chose not to. Almost like how the guy didn't light the house on fire when he could have.
Well, and I was a little disappointed that it kept going, because I thought, and like the music and stuff is telling us that like, oh, well, they released the ghost, this is it. And it's not the end of the movie. It continues on.
What's going on, guys?
And so now like the ex-husband has to die, and then they're going to figure out that she's still there. And which actually, okay, even in spite of all that, it's still like sustained creepy enough that I'm going to give it 4, I think. And then before we go to scariness, because I forgot that we have to talk about this, because it would be like not talking about the shower scene in Psycho. We didn't directly talk about the black and white image of her like climbs out of the TV and starts walking around.
Actually,
like,
that's
sort of like the key image from this franchise is that.
Insert scary movie. This woman messing up my floor and then hits her with a chair.
And like, that's, you know, that's like, it's a an unsettling thing, you know. If that was, it's a little unsettling to watch happen in a movie, but like, that's one of those like, now my brain is in half things if this happens for real, that we talked about before. Like, it's much scarier if it's really happening to you, like suddenly something climbs out of the TV and is now like coming across the room at you after all this other creepy stuff has already happened to you. And then although I don't really understand why it was necessary, because she's killed plenty of people before without physically manifesting, at least that we've seen.
Well, like, that's the thing, is like, all these people that seem to die, we don't actually witness like their final moments.
Yeah, so
we
maybe just, it happens every time.
Like, it's kind of like a little build up, and then at the end of the build up, it's just like a cut to another scene, and it's just like, oh yeah, well, didn't you hear so-and-so died?
Yeah.
And it's like, but how? How did they die? Like, what happened to her? Like, oh, her heart stopped. Like, did Samara just like come out and just like the ultimate punch to the chest and the compression caused the heart just to quit working? Like, what's this? Well, we don't really know, but her ribs seem to be okay. Well, then what's up with her face?
I forgot.
Did Mike Tyson bite her face off? What is this?
I forgot about that, because that's something that's so early 2000s about this. Is she says, I spent 4 hours on the internet and couldn't find out anything I wanted to. And so just like the idea of just being on the internet as like an activity that's worth mentioning, like, because people wouldn't say that now.
Oh,
people
no.
would say like, I looked it up, or like I researched it, or like I did a deep dive or something, whatever the kids say. And
That's how you know we're getting old.
But she's just like, I spent 4 hours on the internet and couldn't. I mean, I also don't believe that she couldn't find one case where a teenager had some kind of heart stoppage problem.
Especially after like three other ones had just died.
Yeah, well, things
on
don't
the same
make it,
day at the same time.
Things don't make it to the internet, I guess, because like she was looking things up on the internet, but it was all like other stuff that like the teens died. She got from like actual newspapers mostly, and so I guess it's just like there's not that much on the internet yet. Although it's not true, even by this point, really. And something that's also that you can't really do anymore is that. Having someone not have information for a period of time until they can get back to a place where they can research things, you can't have anymore because people are walking around with smartphones.
Like, we literally have the internet in our pocket.
They can just do it right there.
Yeah.
And so just having the, like, she's out there on the island and she gets some clues, but she can't really check out the clues until she gets back. And so
and you're
going to
tell me like that island doesn't have cell phones.
And like, well, I don't know if it was the island that didn't or the middle of the bay that didn't, because that seems much more likely.
I don't know. Like any place that looks like people would heavily travel or have some kind of commerce. I'm pretty sure like Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, somebody's going to try to put up a tower.
Yeah. I mean, it is 2002, so it's still. A lot of places that didn't have good. I mean, there's still places that don't have good service. I guess it doesn't work on the island because she goes to a payphone to call the son to ask him about the drawing of the house.
Payphones.
That she identifies by the unusual feature of having a television antenna on the roof.
And a red chimney.
And a red chimney, yeah. Lots of people have red chimneys, though. Bricks come in red.
But, like, The house had no color other than the red brick and
the red
chimney.
I mean, I think we already have, like, we know that I have a leaning here, but we still have to ask the question anyway. But what about scariness?
I'm actually going to give this a 4 because, like, you wanted to talk about, like, her crawling out of the TV. I was saving it for this because My natural reaction for things is if it's something that you can't do anything about, that's normally, I feel scarier.
Yeah, well, that's the entire Slenderman thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know what he wants, you don't know what he's doing, and you can't do anything about any of it. So,
and so
it's
like,
just total helplessness.
And so, like, getting all of the like these images in your head, like, unless you just take medication that just really knocks you out in the middle of the night, you know, it's like, you're still going to be seeing stuff, and that's already pretty bad. Unless she takes a real physical form when she comes out of the TV, like when she crawls out in front of Noah, because, you know, it's a really well lit room and she crawls out, like there's these moments where she has like this static kind of look, like regardless of her seemingly jumping from one area to another, like it's almost like she's transparent to that like TV static sense.
Yeah.
And so like I can't just pick up a chair and hit her with the chair. It'll pass right through her.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do anything at this point. Like, there's no way to protect yourself. So, yeah, like, that's a bit higher up on my scale compared to here, let me take a shotgun to, like, this thing's face. Like, I know that'll work because it's going to explode. And then let's move on. Like, oh, no, it just passes right through her because she doesn't care. I guess I'll just die.
Yeah. I mean... I didn't expect us to, like, we didn't agree overall, but, like, we do agree about this because, like, so the thing is, I think that this probably is the scariest thing that we've watched this October.
Agreed.
But it's still, like, way below Marble Hornets. And, like, that's the, like, if it's not at least approaching how that much scariness, it's not probably going to get a 5 because like that's the thing. It's like I'm looking for something, and like sure I could watch a movie with like spiders or something in it and be like really really creeped out and unsettled and it would probably haunt me afterwards, but that's a different thing. But so it is really creepy, and it's creepy like for most of the time, and even the like they don't do the like the loud sound thing as much as they could, and there are times where something impactfully creepy does happen and they don't sting it like that. They do restrain themselves sometimes, which this is Hans Zimmer doing the music, who isn't always the most restrained in his bombasticness, but he is a really good composer, so he can't. Now, we don't know how much Gore Verbinski was telling him, like, no, put a sting there. You know, we don't really know who's to blame for the ones that are there. But so it can't get to 5, but it is at least meaty 4. So.
Yeah, I think it's scarier than it was good.
Well, I think it's personally both, though. I mean, it for sure has some holes and some things, but it mostly works for its purposes.
For its purposes. I also want to know why it's that whole thing of she never sleeps. Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, she doesn't, because we have this like high speed footage of her in her asylum room and just like the clock's going round and round and she's standing over here and standing over there and looking up at the clock and looking at the camera, and so she doesn't sleep, and it's just a creepy thing that she does, I guess, because something's wrong. We don't know where she came from. She's just eating, so for some reason
we don't know where she goes.
No.
We don't know where she came from.
No.
Samara I. Jones.
No. We have no information about her history.
Yeah.
And so I guess it in you said in the Japanese one, she's like has bad feelings towards people because they've made her do like psychic stuff.
Yeah, well,
she's not like
inherently an evil person.
But and also she doesn't have like some kind of supernatural origin or anything.
No,
like, there's no like mythological Japanese thing that she's referencing or anything.
Well, if I remember correctly, there was a man and a woman, and the woman was supposed to be a psychic, wink wink nudge nudge, and then the man was supposed to be like a I guess you'd say like her producer, her agent or whatever. They were going to refer it as. And then they end up having a kid together, and it's her. And she's actually psychic, and the mom's not anymore. So they make the kid do the stuff while the mom pretends to be psychic.
Oh.
But then, like, people find out that the kid's psychic, and then, like, the mom, I think she offs herself because of the shame, and the dad goes into isolation, and then they kind of, like, do that, oh, science! Hook her up with electrodes! Can you move this? And then I think the dad kills her because now she's like mentally torturing people. It's been a while. I think I have it at home.
Hmm. So this is a case where, although it's only mostly positive reviews by critics, you know, there are people that thought it was so-so or people that thought it was not good, but it's more positive than not, but people are much lower.
Yeah.
In the amount of people that like it, which is also odd.
Is because, this a Rotten Tomatoes score?
Yeah.
I
this
know
is,
it.
This is like the ring as an idea is in the culture now. And so people at least know about it. And like things have like ripped off pieces of it. And it's referenced, but people don't like it, or like half of people don't like it.
I wonder if it's the general audience rating are people who are remembering, like they didn't watch it, they just went and did a right rating. People who did not watch it but went in and wrote a review or put in a rating. Because they happen to remember more from the sequels, which are terrible.
Hmm. Maybe.
Because especially with like older movies, and yeah, I know it's not that old, but it's still older. especially compared to the whole like online review everything kind of mentality.
Yeah.
But like that's kind of like this feeling I get is if it's brand new, it's most likely going to have a more accurate rating system, just kind of based off of what's going on at the time. But older movies are not, unless it's like people who are specifically like, hey, we kind of do this.
Yeah.
Like we watched it and then we talked about it to give it a review. We didn't just be like, hey, well, you know, you
kind of remember this thing.
You remember this movie from like 12 years ago? Well, we haven't watched it in like 10, but I'm going to give it a 2 because I don't remember it that well, but I remember not liking it. It's like it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I still want to know that the whole her not sleeping bit, like that still doesn't make any bloody sense. It has no connection to anything else in the movie.
No, there's no explanation of it at all. There's not like, cause there's one of the like creepiest X-Files episodes that, and it's pretty early. I think it's in like the second season maybe, where there was this military experiment to like make special forces soldiers not have to sleep so that they could be soldiers all the time. And like it worked. And then, like, all of the, you know, whatever war they were fighting in was over. And so these guys, like, still exist. And it's, like, kind of driving them crazy. And, like, one of them is, like, I think he's, like, murdering people or something. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But it's really creepy. And there's this whole, like, angle of, like, this is what, like, messed these people up. Was this, because, like, people need to sleep. And because they were conditioned and drugged and whatever not to sleep, and that it actually like altered their brains or whatever where it became permanent, that like it's not good, like you have to, like your brain has to sleep, and if you don't, like you might not die but you're gonna be messed up. And well, so there's no like preceding element of that, like she wasn't like studied and that's why she can't sleep, and now their other creepiness arises from it.
Well, see, that's one of those things where it's like she can't sleep, but she says the horses keep me up at night.
Yeah.
Why would they keep you up at night if you already don't sleep?
Yeah.
If she's in the facility, would they not give her medication to see if she could sleep?
I don't know.
See, I'm already thinking about it.
I mean, she was originally, before she was in the facility, she was being kept up in the loft. I guess probably after she was already imprinting creepy things on them, maybe. And so the dad was like, I'm putting her out in the barn where she's farther away. So maybe she can't screw with us as readily, because maybe it is, there is much more of a proximity thing than we know about. Because otherwise, why would being in the barn matter? Because it's still right next to the house, sort of. And
well, I'm also,
then she was being kept awake by the horses, but then she was put in the facility later.
But see, that's what I'm thinking about. It's just like, now, unless something is like, I don't know people that this actually affects, but it's just like maybe being so sensitive and being unable to get a deep sleep, regardless of how tired you are. Because like I would figure like after a point of just not being able to sleep at night, you're going to be so tired that the horse is going, nah, you're just going to sleep right there. You get used to it. You just, your brain just mutes it out of your ears because you get so used to it.
Yeah.
That's why you can see your nose right now, or that there's not actually a comfortable place in your mouth to put your tongue. Little things like that. Like your brain just goes, eh, whatever. I'm tired of dealing with this, and just shuts that off for a period of time.
It's called Sleepless, and it is in the second season. It's the fourth episode of the second season. You want to go and find it. It's a good episode. And that's all I had to say about The Ring. We didn't talk about it, but the like poster line for this is, before you die, you see The Ring. So, it's not, like, it's a little lame, but it's not as bad as it could be. We'll see you next time.
Later.